Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, we are concluding our series on endurance. It says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Jesus said, but the one, he didn't make it a group effort. How many of you remember group projects in high school? How many of you hated them because you always did the work and somebody just kind of rode your coattails? I've got an admission. I was a coattail rider. This is not a group project. This is not a four or five person relay race. This is the one that endures. Everybody is in and on their own race. Endures to the end will be saved. Turn to the person sitting next to you or standing next to you and tell them, everybody doesn't win a trophy, only the ones who endure. You may be seated. And I don't want to belabor the point, however it has plagued our minds, and it's been all over, of course, news and social media, and this has been an enduring week. No matter what you had going on this week, it suddenly didn't seem as important. Now, I remember when the news broke, and I was on social media the day it happened about what happened in Uvalde. I've been working on in business for the last few weeks, and I sat stunned in my office out at the barn for a few moments, prayed, wept. For those children, for those families, for our nation. How did we get to where we are today? But what I was working on seemed to be so frivolous, so unimportant. And it's amazing how just like that, things and perspective can shift and change. I'm concerned with the state of our nation, not because of laws, not because of politicians. I'm concerned that we can have something happen so close to San Antonio, Texas, and a few days later this church not be filled. If the Uvalde tragedy had happened in 1975 or 85, they would be standing in the parking lot waiting to get their turn in a service. But as you look around today, we still have about 2,500 seats In a city with 2.5 million people in surrounding areas, and people put their Pray for Uvalde post on, and then they just go about their life. They're right back to volleyball tournaments, right back to their investments on the stock market, right back to complaining about gas prices. Come on, somebody. But this week, we had to buckle down and say, hey, God, I don't know why it happened, but I still believe that you are going to have the final say. I don't know why the tragedy. I don't know what brings a young person to that point. I don't understand how a young person that feels that bad about life can't just take their life but feels a need to attack their family and then go after the most innocent of children. And it is in those moments where we can quit and we can say it doesn't make sense. If you're a good God, why would you allow that to happen? Remember this, God is a good God, but Jesus said in John 10 and 10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, to give you life and life abundance. And so Jesus allows the enemy to move first, but I'm here to tell you that the life and life abundance, it is still in effect for those that want to endure. And this past week, a couple dozen children and people, they were able to walk through those pearly gates. They have joined the great cloud of witnesses. 10 and 11-year-old little girls, little boys are in the bleachers with Samson and Paul and Esther and Mary and Martha. And now they're telling you, oh, we had 10 years in a horrific last hour of our life. Don't let a light bill do you in. Don't let a lack of money do you in. Don't let a bad month do you in. Don't let two bad relationships do you in. Keep enduring through it all. Endurance is what separates the starters from the finishers, we're going to be like Christ, we must become finishers. John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." The last word of the entire Bible is amen, meaning it is finished. God is a finisher. God has given us three great pillars, three great weapons: enduring faith, enduring hope, enduring love. Last session, we talked about three of the great things that happen when we choose to endure, and endurance is a choice. We will reap a harvest. For those of you that have been living for God for a while, can I just encourage you with the reminder, you have a lot of seed in the ground that you have not seen the fruit of. But I'm going to tell you, keep enduring. Remember, the soil doesn't care how you feel. The soil's waiting for you to work so God can send the rain. And then the soil has to give up. Not the one who plants the seed, but the one who takes care of the seed will have a harvest, the one who endures. When we endure, we develop great character. Character is not when everything is right. It is tempered when everything is wrong. The fact that you're still in church today, the fact that you worship today, in spite of everything that's going on around us, is a fact that, hey, I'm an enduring believer. I'm building character. I'm stronger today than I was this time last Sunday. Why? Because we've been through some things. We've seen some things, and I'm stronger today. We ended last session talking, when we endure, we develop confidence that we are not alone. I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 31. God reminds the people of Israel, you are not alone. The great thing about Jesus is he is not a political figure that we worship where he is. The Bible says, in him I live, move, and have my being. But the Bible also says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Word of God says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you and will quicken your mortal body. Meaning this, church is not an hour of power. Church just happens to be where you're worshiping today, where you're exhibiting faith today, and where you're serving today. But guess what? Tomorrow, Memorial Day at the barbecue, you still got God with you. When you go back to work on Tuesday, God shows up in the boardroom. God shows up at the teller desk. God shows up at the cashier station. When you go to the hospital, the same God that you worshiped in here is with you there. When you go to the courtroom, he is sitting right beside you as the defense or prosecution comes at you. I am here to tell you, if you do not quit, there is a great promise that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God's not quitting on us, then I'm not quitting on God. Let's get to our next promise for endurance. When we endure, we develop an eternal perspective. If you could watch the news this week and not think about eternity, you're doing it wrong. Man, I've thought about heaven a lot the last 72 to 96 hours. These last 3 or 4 days, Sister Chris, I hear you amening over there, and you bless me every time you amen. Sister Chris, these last 4 days, I've thought about heaven. I've thought about how excited heaven was for all those children to run through those gates and run and skip and play on those golden streets. I thought about my life, should it end today at 40 years of age? I want you to cry at my funeral, not because I'm gone, but cry because you know I am in the hand of God. I'm in a perfected body. I'm singing like an angel. I've got no more bills, no more debt, no more pain, none of the craziness of this world, an eternal perspective. When you look through the eyes of God at situations, it changes everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Somebody say, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. For those of you that are maybe over the age of 40, 50, 60, and you look in the mirror, you don't look like you did at your senior prom. If you've been married for 30 or 40 years, you don't look the same that you did walking down that aisle. Gravity has begun to take effect. Hair has fallen out of certain places, started growing other places. Outwardly, you are wasting away. Yet inwardly, come on somebody, we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And can I encourage you, church, today? I have been guilty of telling you, hey, whatever you sacrifice on this earth, God's got a blessing that is far going to outweigh it on this earth. And that is so true, but I stopped short. Everything that you go through temporarily on this earth, can I encourage you that when you get to heaven, there is a glory that far outweighs all the hate you go through, all the torment you go through, all the tribulation when people attack you because you love Jesus, serve Jesus, the people that say you go to church too much, the people that complain that you go to this type of church, the people that complain about us being a spirit-filled church, and all of the things that we hear on a weekly basis, can I encourage you? It is just a drop in the bucket. It is just the haters hating. It is just the critics chirping, but I want to encourage and tell you that God hears it all, and while you are here serving, while you are here enduring, God is creating a place for you, and the glory of eternity is so great, and whatever we go through here today, it is worth it all. We are wasting away outwardly, but inwardly we're being renewed every day. For light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's why you better not marry for looks. Don't marry based on what you see. The greatest thing about your partner should be the unseen. It should be a love. It should be a trust. It should be a sacrificial giving of their life and their self one to another. And so I want to encourage you, as ugly as this past week has been, my eyes could only look at that so long, and then I had to look over that and remember that we don't fight flesh and blood like flesh and blood. We fight principalities. That's why I didn't call my congressman, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but that's why I had to close my door and pray a little while. Why? Because my flesh wanted to stop, but my spirit wanted to endure. My flesh wanted to ask why, and my spirit wanted to worship. And so you've got to get to the place where you say, my mind is being plagued with all of the temporal things that I'm seeing, and so I need to get my eyes above all of this, and I need the eternal perspective that only comes through Jesus. Endurance changes the way we look at challenges. It changes the way we look at criticism. Endurance changes our perspective. Somebody say perspective. You know, if you listen to me preach, I say perspective a lot. It's the most valuable part of the process, not the temporal, but the eternal. When you look at what you're becoming, not what you're getting, it'll change your life. So many of us, we only want to go through the process. Let me say this again. So many of us only want to go through the process because of what we're promised to get in the end. When whatever you get in the end, church, as great as it may be, will pale in comparison to what you became in the process. I know that sometimes we get our eyes on the finish line and what I'm going to get and the trophy that's there and everything that's been promised and the award money and the reward money and all of these good things. But I want to tell you, looking back at my life, the greatest thing that happened in the process was not what I got at the end, but what I became in the middle while I was enduring. I want to encourage somebody today, don't look at the finish line, look at the finisher, his name is Jesus, and realize that through the process of what I'm going through, I'm becoming something great. That's why you don't give a car to a five-year-old. If you do, you get one of those little monster trucks. And you see them run into the garage, run over their little sister. And you just imagine what they would do if you put them behind a real wheel. But what do? We teach them responsibility. And through the process of 0 to 16 years, they become somebody worthy of the responsibility to hold a driver's license, which now gives them the authority. I'm talking to somebody today. There's a lot of us that want to get rich quick, and we want to get it quick, and we want it now, and we live in the microwave society, but there is no microwave for the things of God. Sometimes there's a process attached to it, and the reason the process is valuable is because you're becoming something in the process that gives you a responsibility that when God gives you the license, you now have the responsibility and the authority that when you start doing what God has called you to do, you don't injure people. You serve people. You help people. You love people to the cross. You love people to Jesus. Let's talk about another enduring promise. When we endure, impossible does not exist. What would you do tomorrow if you knew you could not fail? Come on now. What would you invest in tomorrow if you knew that that stock was going to soar over the next 5 years? I am here to tell you, not in temporal things, but in eternal things that we cannot see, that there is no such thing as impossible when God gets involved. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at his disciples, his faithful followers, and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." You are listening to a person that has seen his parents fight cancer and win 6 or 7 times. You are looking at a person who's watched his brother defeat stomach cancer 3 years ago. Every time when the doctors say nope, when the doctors say it's over, my family says nope, we're going to endure. We're going to go through the process. We're going to look to Jesus. He's the one that started it, and he will be the one that ends it. I am here to tell you, no matter what you are facing today in the room and online, Jesus has already made a way. And if you'll focus on Jesus, if you'll give it all to Jesus, the possible becomes reality. Impossible, impossibilities don't exist. Doesn't mean that you won't fail. Doesn't mean that you won't have trying days. Doesn't mean that you won't lose some battles here and there. But promise and mark this down, you will win the war. You will win the final act, the final chapter when it is read. You will be victorious. When we endure, next, transformation happens. You know why I'm not 160 pounds? Everybody's scared to answer. Everybody answer at once. Because I can't endure. I start the diet. I start eating right. I make New Year's resolutions. I work out 2 days out of 365. And so when I look in the mirror, church, I can't be surprised that I'm not transformed. And here's the thing. You can want it as bad as you can, and your desire does not produce transformation. The only thing desire does is it helps you start, but desire does not help you endure or help you finish. I've watched enough reality TV. I've watched enough American Idol that when they ask those contestants, "Hey, why do you think you're the next American Idol?" They don't talk about skill. They don't talk about their voice. They don't talk about their talent. They say crazy things like, "Oh, I want it worse than anyone wants it. I want it so bad. I've dreamed of this all of my life." Dreaming and doing are completely different things. And we've got a church that we have raised, Big C, Universal, Worldwide Church, that we have preached way too many blessings, but we haven't preached the burden that comes before the blessing. And unless you can attach a burden to the blessing, that blessing is going to jack you up. Let me say it again. If you get a blessing without a burden, it's going to jack you up. But if you can get a burden and you can have something to pray about, something that rolls you out of bed in the morning, something that causes you to put your feet down and follow God and seek God. It's me and you, God, against the rest of the world, unless you have a burden. When you endure, that's when transformation happens. when you don't start going to church, but you start and then you start serving at church, then you become a part of the church. You know, there's attenders here today, and then there's family members here today. There's some that like this about it and like this about it, and we'll see once every few weeks. But then there are some that are here every day, that the doors are open. Why? Because they endure. I'm not tying your relationship with God to your church attendance, but I'm here to tell you, if you really love God, why do you avoid his presence so much? And I don't know why I'm preaching to you. Let me preach to you watching online. Can I encourage you? The COVID excuse, although it's still there and it's very real, you can't be going to the movie theater to watch Top Gun and not come to church. You can't be going to every HEB looking for formula and not come to church. You can't line up for the cheapest gas and not come to church. I'm here to tell you, you just can't play both ends against the middle. If you're going to stay home and keep watching. But if you're going to drive all over town, make sure Sunday is a stop and Wednesday is a stop. Why? Because when you endure, when you commit, that is where transformation happens. And all the church in the building says, amen. Amen. Got a couple minutes left. James chapter 1, verse 2. Y'all know me. James is one of my favorite chapters of the entire books of the entire Bible, especially chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Hold on now. Consider it pure joy? Man, Jaden was up here dancing around singing. I leaned over to Mandy. Of course, that's my daughter, but I leaned over to Mandy. I said, Jaden is like the epitome of joy. You just look at her face. I mean, she's just joy. If joy was a person, it would be Jaden. The writer says, consider it pure joy, not just joy, pure joy, my brothers and sisters. There's a key part. The only people that consider trials pure joy are family. The ones that bellyache, they tell on themselves, I'm not really family. I don't like what I'm going through. This is nonsense. Nothing good will come out of this. But for us brothers and sisters, we consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because we know the testing of your faith. There's that process again. What I become in the trial produces, testing of your faith produces perseverance, which is synonymous for endurance. So let us persevere, let us endure to finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I remember one of the hardest days I had as a father was when Tyler was 6 months old. My first Father's Day, I spent it in the children's ICU. Mandy called me and I came home and Tyler was diagnosed with the flu and what they thought was pneumonia, and his lifeless body was there on the couch with Mandy. We rushed him to the hospital, and I remember as a father, they said, we need you to put one hand on his chest. We're going to fold his legs over, hold his legs down, and we're going to put this IV in him. So me as a dad had to hold my son down. They stuck that boy 14 times. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't in pastor mode then. I said, that's the last time you're going to stick him. The next person, you go find the best person in this hospital that does this, and you got one more shot, one more chance. Why? Because at 6 months old, Tyler didn't understand that if he didn't squirm around, that what they were trying to do would help him. Some of us are not mature to know that even though we didn't choose the process is going to help us. And the endurance that we face now, and what we're going through now, I'm not immature to think that, man, this is a waste of time. I'm saying, Sean, if I'm going through this valley, I'm going to learn something in this valley. If I'm sitting in this pit, I'm going to learn something. I heard a great message preached on Joseph one time that said Joseph wasn't whining in the pit. He wasn't crying in the pit. His brothers threw him in. He was writing directions on the pit wall for the next person that ended up in that pit so they knew how to get out. Listen, when you're in the valley, you're not going to die there. You're not going to stay there. Don't build a house there. Don't start a business there. Why? Because it's just part of the process to get. It's just a trial. And if you make it through the trial, complete, perfect, wanting nothing. I got one more. Can I go? Can I do one more? One more. When we endure, this is a good one for our year. When we endure, hope is resurrected. Can I be transparent with you for 60 seconds? This past week shook me as a father, as a pastor, because I don't know how you can ever expect children to go to school again. Any age, not just that school, any school. I don't know how a parent can deal with that level of anxiety. And I understand, and I talked to a friend of mine, and we were just a pastor friend, we were just bouncing ideas off, and his girls are that age children in elementary school. And I said, What did you do the next day? He said, I sent my girls to school. And I said, was it hard? He said, oh, one of the hardest things I've ever done. But he said, me and my wife, we just decided we're not gonna live in fear. And I'm not telling you what to do, I'm telling you to pray about it and use wisdom. But man, those decisions, that shakes me. But we have a blessed hope, and his name is Jesus. And September 11th happened, and as crazy as that time was, the anchor held. Columbine happened, where the shooter was literally going into rooms saying, are there any Christians? And shooting them point blank. As horrific as that was, the anchor held. Sandy Hook, I remember that day. My kids were in elementary school then. As hard as that was, hurricane force winds, buffeting my faith as a parent, as a father, as a husband. But the anchor held. This past week, and it's still fresh, church. The anchor held, and it's holding. This is the thing you have to know about the anchor of hope. An anchor doesn't mean that the boat doesn't move. The anchor promises that the boat is not going to go anywhere else. It's going to stay right where it's supposed to. I'm talking to somebody today that you're in the battle of your life. And endurance is what it's going to take. I thought it'd be easy, Pastor Brandon. I did too. Man, I'm getting knocked around. The wind's tough. Blow after blow. And can I be honest with you? Maybe this week was already tough before Uvalde. Maybe you've run out of money. Maybe there's things going on with your relationship with your spouse or with an ex-spouse, or things are going on at your job, or maybe it's a mental health thing. You're saying, man, I'm moving around so much. It's not the fact that you won't be buffeted, but I'm going to tell you that the anchor is going to hold in Jesus' name. I want to invite you to stand on your feet. My dear sister's already broken the ice for you. The first one to the altar is always the hardest step. As I preached, she stood up back there and she was amen and she was receiving the word. I always connect with people like her because the Bible says they receive the word with gladness. It's like God spotlights people. Sister Chris is one of those people for me. I preached to her. Some of you look like you've been eating lemons this morning. You just look at me like, hey, I got a brunch date I got to get to. So I always connect to the people that are amen and that are receiving, hands uplifted. Hope resurrected. Hope resurrected, Romans 15:4, my last verse for the day. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Encouragement in the scriptures that produced hope. Jesus is that anchor, church. If you're in this room today and the winds of life are blowing you all around, it's hard to get your footing up one day, down the next. Stumbling on Monday, faith-filled on Tuesday, and you're wondering, how am I ever going to get through this? You're not promised stillness. You're promised that you're not going to go anywhere. The anchor of Jesus, the hope of glory, an enduring hope is in this room today. If you're in this house and you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. this is your moment. I was praying the last 4 days, God, I want to see this building full on Sunday. After what we've just seen, I thought they'd be swinging from the balconies. But they went on with their life as normal. But you're here today. Because why? You're not a flash in the pan. You're an enduring believer. You're a faith-filled follower of Jesus Christ. God, I will follow you through the tough times. God, I will follow you through the uncomfortable times. Hope is resurrecting right now. Hope for my children is resurrecting. Hope for my marriage is resurrecting. Hope for my job and my career is resurrecting. Hope for my emotional stability is resurrecting. Mental health issues, hope right now that I'm not going to have to be on prescription drugs the rest of my life. But God, right now, no more antidepressants, no more downers, no more recreational uppers. I don't have to have anything like that to get through the day. I'm not going to manage my symptoms. You're going to heal me of every symptom. You're going to deal with the source today. I'm talking about people that need hope restored today. Hope is being restored. You are going to endure. You are going to make it to the end. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I want to kindly invite you to this altar and tell you Jesus loves you just like you are. Come as you are with all of your burdens, with all of your cares, with all of your sin. But Jesus loves you enough to not let you stay that way. He's going to take every heavy thing out of your life. Everything that's not of him is going to come out of your life, and he's going to replace it with eternal life and abundant life. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. But for those of you that are in this altar today, most of you already know Jesus because I know you personally. I know that you're members of this church. You're serving here every week. You're raising your families here. But I want to tell you that God is about to restore hope today. God is about to reveal the impossibilities become possible in Jesus' name. He might have said no. They might have said no. She might have turned her back. But God still has not done that and will never do that. I'm going to ask that you lift both hands to heaven. I'm going to release our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands right now in Jesus' name. If they'll spread out on both sides, we're going to come and we're going to agree with you in Jesus' name. Church, if you're at your seat and you say, man, Pastor Brandon, I'm in a healthy place. I'm in a spiritually strong place. I want you to stretch your hands and begin to help us pray, because sometimes we forget that it was us in this altar a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, maybe a couple decades ago. Let's pray in Jesus' name.